But I've heard from many psychics, of course, Ed Dames and others, I might add, that trying to identify when a specific thing is going to happen. You mentioned an airplane crash, for example. Well, that could have been tomorrow, or it could have been next year, or it could have been 10 years later. So how does one come up with the specific timeline? I've understood that's a real problem.
That's a good question, and that's correct. If you ask me, when is something going to happen, there are no signposts, there are no time mileposts on the timeline. So it's very hard to say when something is going to happen. On the other hand, if you have a dream showing that something did happen or will happen, then you can make use of that information. It may not happen tomorrow. It may happen a couple of days later. But in general, if you have a precognitive dream, it pertains to what's going to happen in the near future. And we teach people how to recognize which dreams are precognitive, because one of the things you have to do is learn to separate your ordinary anxiety, wish fulfillment dreams from dreams that have this unusual clarity or bizarre elements.
All right. Well, that in itself is a really good question, Russell. How do you do that? I've had a couple of very immediate precognitive experiences, one in particular, but I've also had a lot of dreams, and I have no way of knowing whether they're immediately precognitive or whether they're just random firings of neurons in sleep. I have no way of knowing. How do you do that?
Well, if a dream pertains to something you're worried about anyway, for example, if you're a student and you're worried about failing an examination that you haven't studied for, we would not consider that a precognitive dream. But if you have a dream about an elephant walking across your front lawn, and there are no elephants, let's say you're in suburban Kansas, and you have this dream about an elephant crossing your front lawn, and it's very vivid, the fact that it's so bizarre and so unusual and so vivid, that would be a good one to tell your wife or tell your partner about, that I had this unusual dream, because it's the very unusual ones that are the ones that are most likely to occur the next day.
All right.
And
the game
is that you don't get credit for precognition unless you've told someone about it.
All right. Well, the one that I had, Russell, was overpowering. It was something that I absolutely could not ignore. In fact, I actually tried to ignore it, and it came washing over me like so many ocean waves, just pounding on me. It was so strong, and it was while I was wide awake. It was not while I was asleep. Now, have you heard of that before?
The opportunity to experience something washing over you is an indication that it really is a precognitive dream. The more extensive interaction you have, it's like an out-of-body experience. In remote viewing, there's a kind of continuum from our nice, simple, sanitary remote viewing that we would do in the laboratory, where I'd ask someone to tell me what you see on your mental screen. And then there's a continuum to going into the distance and interacting with another person, where you can bring with you the emotionality or sensitivity or sexuality and have a very profound experience at a distant place. And the more involving your dream is, the more likely it is to actually be precognitive. I want to mention, in The End of Suffering, I have a chapter on learning how to discern which dreams are ordinary wish fulfillment dreams and which one really carries information about the future.
All right. Russell, I want to ask you a question and hopefully get a good, honest answer from you. And I know it's tough because remote viewers, I suppose, are somewhat, competitive, and I guess that's a natural thing. But Ed Dames claims that he has developed a method for, identifying the physical location, the exact by coordinate physical location of an event or an item, and B, he claims that he has now come up with some method of identifying specifically when something is going to occur. Are you at all familiar with these claims? Do you have any comment on them?
Well, I have comments on a lot of that. I've been following Ed Dane's work for many, many years, and especially on your show and elsewhere, and he's made lots and lots of claims about where things are and when things are going to happen, and he says that he's 100% correct. And the best of my knowledge, he has never forecast or described anything that was actually correct. So I encounter his students, who are in fact pretty good remote viewers, because remote viewing is very easy to teach, but I have no reason to believe his claims, because his claims have never been put to the test in the past. Now, with regard to finding things by coordinate remote viewing, now that was our bread and butter activity for three decades at SRI. So there's no doubt that if you give somebody geographical coordinates, then they can describe what's going on there. I mean, one of Joe McMonagle is probably the outstanding remote viewer in the world today. When he was working with us, the government gave him coordinates of a building in the Soviet Union. And he looked at that and drew pictures, which I have, where he showed them building an absolutely enormous submarine, a submarine 500 feet long. And everyone thought that was ridiculous. First of all, nobody's ever seen a sub that big, and it was a quarter mile from the ocean.
Right.
But that turned out to be a 1 year in advance U.S. information, or information brought psychically, about the Typhoon-class submarine. And that's one of the great accomplishments of our program, and one of the great things that Joe McMonagle did. All he had to work with is the geographical coordinates, and he was able to identify the building, draw the building, and then draw this stupendously large, the sub three times bigger than anything that was ever seen, and there it was a year later showing up on satellite photography.
Wow. Is there any impediment to remote viewing at all? In other words, if you were to take somebody and put them in a solid lead room, something shielded entirely from what we understand to be the nature of electromagnetic waves, would it stop? Could you bar it? Could you stop it?
What I'm looking for
is a source of energy. You know, what is the source of the energy? There's got to be some kind of transmission, right?
Well, the easy part of that question is that people love working in electromagnetic shielding. We did all of our work at SRI in a electric magnetic shielded room because people did better and liked being in the room because it shields out the electromagnetic noise from the terrestrial noise and the solar noise. And the reason that they could do that is because there's really no separation in consciousness. So I think that it is not energetic. I think you can see the distance because there's really no separation.